Broadcasting live to New York,
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.,
Bloomberg 99.1.
To Boston,
Bloomberg 1200.
To San Francisco,
Bloomberg 960.
To the country,
SiriusXM Channel 119.
And around the globe,
the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com.
This is Taking Stock.
I'm Kathleen Hayes, along with Pim Fox. A very special show today, live in Washington, D.C., home of Bloomberg 99.1, as the Foundation for Art and Preservation in Embassies honors the greatest architect of our time, Frank Gehry. We're going to find out about FAPE, as it is called, one of the women who has been on the board. Hear more about the history, Pim, of this organization, which was started by the wives of wealthy American diplomats who also happen to be patrons of the arts. This is more of a private initiated group that also has this public partnership with the embassies throughout the world, and of course the organization being honored tonight at the State Department in a special reception.
Yes, and well, let's go to our partner right now. We've got Charlie Pellett in the Bloomberg Newsroom with a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I thank you, Pim. I thank you, Kathleen. The story we are following for you this afternoon, people familiar with the matter say YP Holdings, the digital advertising business of what was formerly called yellowpages.com, does plan to submit a first-round bid today to merge with Yahoo. Yahoo shares little changed. They're up now by 0.1%, $36.56 on Yahoo. Stocks are higher. Dow Jones Industrial Average moving past 18,000 for the first time in 9 months. S&P 500 Index moving to a four-month high, paced by gains in Hasbro and energy producers. Hasbro is up 5.6%. The S&P 500 Index advancing 11 points to 2,091, I should say, up by 0.5%. The Dow up 87, a gain there of 0.5%. Catherine Ellis Nixon is Chief Investment Officer at Northern Trust. She says the election is a concern for investors.
Actually, one of our risk cases that we have at Northern now is the manifestation of that feeling, which is this rise in populist politics. That can be actually quite a headwind if it comes to fruition to GDP growth, meaning anti-trade, anti-globalization, anti-immigration policies that will actually contract growth just at the wrong time.
And we've got gold down 60 cents, 12.34 the ounce, and it is 2.32 on Wall Street.
Thank you, Charlie. From the Bloomberg Newsroom, I'm Ramey Innocencio. Donald Trump has been accusing the Republican Party and his opponent, Senator Ted Cruz, of rigging the primary to keep him from getting the GOP presidential nomination. But Cruz, taking questions from undecided voters in a town hall on ABC's Good Morning America Today, says it is not stealing even if there's a contested convention.
I'll have a ton of delegates, he'll have a ton of delegates, and it's going to be a battle in Cleveland to see who can get to a majority. You can't get the nomination without earning a majority of the delegates elected by the people.
Cruz also said Trump does not handle losing well. Bernie Sanders says if he doesn't win the Democratic Party's nomination, Hillary Clinton will have to convince his followers she will get behind certain issues.
The Clinton people are also going to have to listen to what these people are fighting for. So it is a two-way thing. It's not me. I don't control millions of people.
The presidential candidates are making a last-ditch effort to gain support in New York ahead of tomorrow's crucial primary. Republican Donald Trump will hold a campaign rally in Buffalo tonight. Hillary Clinton will be stumping here in the city, and Bernie Sanders will be joined by Danny Glover at a rally in Long Island City. And if you waited until today to file your taxes, you are not alone. About a quarter of all Americans wait until the final 2 weeks before the deadline. But if you're thinking of putting it off even longer, H&R Block Senior Tax Advisor Richard Gartland says you should reconsider.
The penalties for non-filing, for late filing, are far greater than the penalties for late payment.
The IRS is expecting to receive 5 million tax returns today. Global News 24 hours a day, powered by our 2,400 journalists in more than 150 news bureaus around the world. From the Bloomberg Newsroom, I'm Ramey Innocencio.
And we thank you. And again, recapping, stocks higher, S&P up 10, a gain of 0.5%, the Dow up 88, a gain also of 0.5%. I'm Charlie Pelleton. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash.
You're listening to Taking Stock with Pim Fox and Kathleen Hayes on Bloomberg Radio.
This is Taking Stock on Bloomberg. We are broadcasting live from our Washington 99.1 105.7 HD studios in Washington, D.C. If you walk into any U.S. embassy or on embassy grounds, you can watch the wheels of democracy crank on, but also take a look at the art. The art there is courtesy of the Foundation for Art and Preservation in Embassies, and it's a public-private partnership. And I asked one of the representatives of the organization to tell us a little bit about the finances, the program, and how companies and individuals can get involved.
Most of the people that support FAPE are connected with embassies or have been, are people that the husband, or very seldom the wife, but the husband has been in an embassy as ambassador. And as you know, because most of our embassy people are not career ambassadors, but people that have donated to the candidate or that has become president or been a strong, loyal friend or supporter, they do tend to have money. But that's been what really has gotten the basis of, earned the basis of the money that they need to do what they do, which is to convince artists that they know to do a print or sometimes a drawing, or when they come to the installation pieces, a sculpture, for no recompense, no money. They pay them the cost of the materials, but they don't give them a stipend. So they have to know the artist. They have to have, in some cases, be collectors that have, works of art by these artists in order to convince them. Because like the piece that Ellsworth Kelly did well before he died for the Beijing embassy, it couldn't have been possible unless he had also done works of art that were with these people that are collectors and were former ambassadors.
What is the purpose of having American art in embassies? In a nutshell, what do you think it does, Aggie? Why have you put so much of your time and energy into this?
Because I'm a strong believer that art is a universal language, that it is something we all speak and we all know about in all its forms, not only visual arts, but very much music and theater and dance. And that this is the only way, in my opinion, and I know it's not written and said in a way that makes it quotable, but in my opinion, it is a way to have a more peaceful world, to have a world where we understand other people and we really know and sympathize with other people when they do have problems. And it isn't just about going in and saving somebody. It's about going in and interacting with them in their country. In this world where everybody's talking about how people, the U.S. shouldn't go into other countries and try to, so to speak, save them, what they should do is have other countries have an appreciation of the fact that we are democracy. We do things mostly in a very fair and free way, and that this is part of our art, too, and part of their bringing their art to us in the United States, that we then see that we can get along with people in a way and deal with them in a way that isn't always aggressive.
Let's say someone is running a small startup technology or communications company. They don't have millions of dollars and hours to spend, but they're interested and they want to make this part of their international, their global connection. Can they participate as well? Is there a way for smaller and not so well-heeled companies to participate?
Yes, there is. Jennifer Duncan, who runs it, and Joe Carroll are very open to working with it. We also work with the State Department, And the State Department is someplace that anybody can contact and find out how to do this. In fact, you know, FAPE can't do it all and can't do enough to really make this happen. And I think that somebody like Darren Walker at the Ford Foundation is a person that people could go to and say, I have an interest in having my business seen and recognized in Indonesia, say, or in another country like Ecuador now, just because it's on the radar with its earthquake, having something go there to one of the cities there.
That was Agnes Gunn, known to her friends as Aggie. She's a board member of the Foundation for Art and Preservation in Embassies, an organization started by the wives of three American diplomats, patrons of the art. Up next, the world's most renowned architect, Frank Gehry, being honored at the FAPE. This is Bloomberg Radio.
Bloomberg Taking Stock is brought to you by Audi Meadowlands in Secaucus, New Jersey, powered by Benzelbusch, offering a commitment to service, luxury, and value with total transparency. Start your journey at AudiMeadowlands.net and define the way you drive.